Good morning. How are you this week? Good, good. My name is Joshua, and I'm the lead pastor of this church. I know that I have given an impression to many people that I'm an outgoing and talkative person. Yes, I'm very talkative, and I like to talk very much. And unlike some ones who are afraid to talk in front of people, actually, I'm confident to express myself and to share my idea in front of a big crowd. I have no fear to stand on a stage and give a speech in the public. So when I was in elementary school, and my teachers invited me to participate in different kind of speech contests, and end up, I won a lot of prizes. And also, when I was in high school, and my school also recruited me to become one of their members in their debating team. So I also went to compete in different kinds of the debate tournaments with my team, and end up, we also won a lot of prizes. So in less than 2 years, my school already made me one of their captains in their debating team. So you know that obviously speaking is one of my strengths. And some of my friends even think that I have a great potential to be trained to be a so-called motivational speaker. But you know what? Even though I was good in speaking, I was good at debating, I was good in giving speech, I did not fully realize the power of words, not until I was hurt by it. It was my second year of university. A brother named Billy, well, this name is a fake name, of course, Billy came to my church. We attend in the same youth fellowship. Well, we are very good friends. We hung out a lot, and we talk a lot, we chat together, and in a very short period of time, we have already built up a very, very good relationship. We were a very different person, although we had different personalities, and we did not agree on everything, and sometimes we even argued on things like argue on what we believe and what should we do as a Christian, questions, something like that. But we still kept a very good relationship. He was my friend. We were even able to share our feeling, our innermost feeling, and our thoughts with each other. But one day, a new girl called Susan came to our church. He joined our fellowship. She joined our fellowship. Well, she was same age of mine, and she was cute, and I have a crush on her. Oh. Yesterday, my daughter, Kristen, she got a chance to read my sermon notes, and the first thing she asked me is, who is this Susan? And she asked this question in front of her mother. But fortunately, my wife knew this person. Susan is a fake name, of course. And Kristen asked me, who is prettier? And I said, of course, it's your mother. And she said, it's a good answer. Yeah. Well, anyway, I had a crush on this Susan. So I told Billy about that. I told Billy how I felt about this girl. But the real reason I want to tell Billy is because I was struggling. I was still struggling whether this girl is suitable for me, whether this is the right person for me to develop a serious relationship. Also, I was struggling about whether this is a good time for me to develop a relationship with this girl. So I need someone to talk to. And finally, I decided I should went to Billy because he is my friend. I told him what happened was my struggle, and I presume what I told him will become a secret that will be kept between us. But you know what? Unfortunately, Billy did not pay too much attention and treat it seriously about what I told him, and he did not think this way. He did not keep this as a secret between us, but he shared what I told him to everyone in the fellowship. He talked about me and Susan behind our back. I knew he first told Aaron and Leon. And one day, Aaron and Leon just happened, they met Jackie and Andy in a coffee shop, so they talked about it. And Andy eventually told Sarah. And then Sarah made up her own story and then told Amy. All of a sudden, within 2 weeks, it seems like everybody in the fellowship knew that I have a crush on Susan. People start gossiping about us in the fellowship. And every time when I stepped into the fellowship hall, I saw people, they whispering with one another, and I knew it. I have a very strong feeling that they were talking about me. I was not able to stop this gossip. I tried my best, but I cannot do that. And the rumor keeps spreading out. I was so embarrassed by that circumstance. So was Susan. Turned out, Susan stopped showing up in the fellowship. She decided not to come to our fellowship anymore because she was so embarrassed by the circumstances and she hated people talking about her behind her back. You know, I was so angry. So I went to Billy. I wanted to confront him. And I said, Billy, what are you doing? How could you do this to me? Why do you gossip me and Susan behind our back? Guess what he said? He said, hey, Joshua, what a big deal. You have a feeling for that girl, right? You like her, right? Then I said to Billy, yes, of course, I like this girl. But did I tell you something? Did I tell you that I'm still thinking about it? Did I tell you I'm still struggling about whether I should develop a serious relationship with Susan? Did I tell you that? I share my thoughts with you. I share my struggle with you because I trust you. I think you are my friend. I never give you the permission to share it with others. I was so upset. So Billy finally knew that he had done something that really hurts our friendship. So he apologized. I accept his apology. Even though I accept his apology, to be honest, after that, I can never again to share my feeling with him wholeheartedly anymore. Not because I still mad at him, but I just couldn't believe in someone who had betrayed my trust. So, have you ever had similar experience before? Have you ever been hurt by gossip before? You know, it really hurts. No wonder the author of Proverbs, he said, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, whoever goes about slandering reveals secret. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler. The author of Proverbs asks us not to associate with those who involve in gossip. Why? Because gossip can really bring harm to a relationship. Not only can bring harm to a relationship, but also, you know, it can destroy a church. Well, I'm not exaggerated. Today, according to my understanding, there are so many churches outside. They are still suffering in dealing with gossip among their congregation. As a matter of fact, the enemy, Satan, is using gossip as his weapon to create division and destruction inside the church. He used gossip and rumor to create conflicts and disputes amongst Christians. He makes people think that talking about someone behind their back is okay. But you know what? The fact is, it is not okay. It is way beyond not okay. A friend of mine who is a pastor once shared with me his personal experience Well, I would say that it is a very bad personal experience. He told me that his church was nearly ruined by a prayer meeting, which was held once a month. You know, I was so curious. I asked, how could a church ruined by a prayer meeting? Isn't it a church supposed to be empowered, blessed by a prayer meeting? You know, we have a problem. We have prayer meeting too. We have prayer meetings once a month, almost once a month, during our small group times. Every small group, we come together, we pray for the church because the church needs this prayer. Then this pastor friend starts to share his story with me. He explained to me, he said, well, because it is not a typical kind, normal kind of prayer meeting. It was a prayer meeting they organized so that people can gossip and grumble in there. Before they pray, they would spend hours to discuss about the sermon they heard on Sunday. They would criticize the speaker. They would criticize the PowerPoint presentation. They would complain about the leadership of individual deacons, elders, and they grumbled on the content of the church, of the material the church used for their children programs. They thought their discussions was legitimate. And it was coming out from their concern about the church. So they talk about the church because they care about the church. But the fact was, the only things you can hear during that prayer meeting was only complaints and grudges, which kept every participant inside it, reinforcing their negative feeling towards the church. So they just loved to gossip and grumble during the prayer meeting. They were not interested in praying. They loved to talk about the church, but they never think about how to build up the church. So, can you imagine what kind of prayer meeting it was? How could God listen to these prayers? Then I asked my friend, how do you know this prayer meeting even exists? Because I assume that those people did not invite you to join them, right? And he said, because some of the congregants were there and they did not feel right about it, so they left the prayer meeting and they told the deacons on the following Sunday. What a sad story. And this is a real story. The problem of gossip is very hard to deal with. Not because of the gossip itself, not because of the content of the gossip, but because the people who engage in gossiping always think that they love the church. So they talk about the church. But the fact is, it is not. Not even close. Rather than caring about the church, what they did were just spreading rumors, which could shake people's faith among the congregants and causing division among one another. You know, I have seen so many people who were hurt before by rumor and gossips in the church. Someone ended up, they left the church. Someone ended up, they left their faith. So, what is gossip anyway? How do you know where you are gossiping? When we turn to the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul addressed it to the Gentile, those who did not believe in God in this way. You hear that? He said, Romans chapter 1, verse 2, they were filled with all manners of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers. In this word, the word gossip in Greek can be translated as whisperer in English. So in other words, God, Paul, called people who engage in gossip whisperer. Why? Well, it is obvious because most of the times, people do not want anybody to find out that they are gossiping about others. So when they talk about someone behind the back, they will whisper. I tell you about a secret. Let's talk about him. Well, they just don't want anybody else to know what they are doing. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, when Paul rebuked those idolaters in the church, he said this way. He said, "For we hear that some amongst you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies." The word busybodies in this verse in Greek also contains a meaning of gossiping. It refers to someone who are interested in digging out other people's secret and excited to share it with others. In the book of 1 Timothy, Paul described the idolaters in another way. And there he said, 1 Timothy verse 5, chapter 5, verse 12 to 13. They learn to be idolaters, going about from house to house, and not only idler, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. Like Proverbs chapter 20, here the word gossips in Greek can also mean bubbling in English. So Paul described gossip as some kind of meaningless noise and sound coming out from a mouth. It has no face value at all, and it is not good to those who are listening. So, what is gossip? How do I know I am gossiping? Well, if I need to give it a definition, then I will say this. Listen carefully. If you talk about someone with others behind their back unnecessarily, or you share the private details with others without permission, then you are gossiping. Do you get it? Let's hear this again. If you talk about someone with others behind their back unnecessarily, if you talk about someone just because, well, we enjoy talking about someone, then this is what I call unnecessarily. Or you share their private details with others without permission, then you are gossiping. You know, this kind of talk cannot build up people's life. It can only do harm to those who are listening, because it probably will create even more misunderstanding and rumors amongst people that can ruin not only the relationships, but also the unity of the church. And this is the reason Paul said he was feared to see gossiping happen in the church. When he wrote 2 Corinthians, chapter 12 to 20, he said to the church of Corinth, and he said, "For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder." As we know that Paul was a very strong person, right? With strong personality and with strong faith. But can you hear that? Even Paul himself, he said he feared to see quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, and gossips happened in the church. You may ask, why? Why Paul feared about that? Well, it is obvious, because Paul knew what gossip can do to a Christian community. He knew how gossip can divide a church so easily. And when he talked Timothy about who to select to become church leaders to lead the church in the book of 1 Timothy, he addressed it to the leaders' wives. He said, "Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderous, but sober-minded, faithful in all things." It is so obvious that Paul not only forbade the church leaders, but also their wives to engage in all form of gossiping. And likewise, in the books of Titus, he also reminds those older women, I think it's also applied to the older men, in the church, in the same way. He said, Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, he said, "Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children." What Paul is going to say, what Paul wants to say here. Paul wants every Christian to understand one thing, that whoever they are, whether they are old or young, men or women, leaders or followers, husband or wife, no one shall gossip or spread rumor among one another. That's what Paul wants us to understand. Why? You may say why. Because gossip can kindle strife. Even though the conflict has been resolved, gossip has the power to rekindle it and make it even worse. Imagine, this is like a mountain fire. Do you remember the mountain fire happened in Alberta province 2 years ago? It's a big fire, right? It causes a great deal. It causes dearly to put it out. But you know what? You only need a small spark to make it burn all over again. So is gossip. Perhaps it is just a simple comment or just a personal opinion to someone, but you said it behind their back. And what you said might bring you even more dispute and conflict. So the Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 to 22, the Proverbs said, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife." I think now, I believe, you can imagine how destructive gossip can be. But what makes it even worse is that people seldom to go to verify the detail they have heard from a rumor, from a gossip. They seldom go to find proof of what they have heard. Is it coming from the fact? Or is it made up by someone's imagination? People tend to mix up their own opinion with the fact they gossip. So they share it. The gossip distorts the truth. Is what we heard from a reliable source? Is there any hard evidence to authenticate the truth? If nobody is going to find out, yes, keep spreading the rumor, can you imagine what you will see? Well, I'm pretty sure that what you will see even more quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder among one another, just like what you saw in the church of Corinth a moment ago. So do you understand why I said gossip can destroy a church? It is very serious. But you know what is the bigger problem is? The bigger problem is, even though people know gossip is bad, and gossip is destructive, you see people still like to do it, and they do it every day. They continue to gossip around and spread rumor. They love to talk. They just love to talk. They just love to talk about people behind their back. Why? Why people always love to talk about someone behind their back? The answer is very obvious too. Because gossip is attractive. Don't you agree? The Bible said gossip is like honey. It is sweet like honey. It is addictive and it is hard to stop. So Proverbs said, the words of a whisperer are like delicious mosaics. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Do you have the same feeling? Do you find gossip attractive? When you are gossiping about someone, either you are the ones who talk or the ones who listen, you feel the excitement, right? Why is this so excited? I think it was because we're curious. We're curious about people's secret. And gossip is one of the efficient and effective ways for you to fulfill your curiosity easily. You know, I came across of some people I know who used it as a mean to build up their connections with others. They used gossip, rumor, slander, unfair judgment, comment, and untruthful lie to help them to draw people's attention to them, make them look good, and make them feel popular. What a shame. And imagine, if you were surrounded by all this kind of people, what kind of influence did they exert to you? You may become one of them. You might become like them. And you imagine further, if we were all like them, and we were just so happened together in the same church, what kind of church do you think we become? I think, like Paul said, I am fear that we will become a whole bunch of slanderers and bubblers, full of dispute, quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, conceit, and disorder. So this is the reason we should pay extra attention and put all our efforts to prevent gossip in the church. If we are aware of it, its destructive power, we will know why we should stop it with whatever we can. I want you to understand. It is in our DNA. I mean, it is in our church DNA, Colonial Evangelical Church, that we hate gossip and rumor very much. Your pastor hates Christians talking about their brother and sister behind their back so much. Why? Because they know what kind of harm rumor and gossip can bring to the body of Christ. It creates division and it destroys unity. So when you see someone gossiping next time, I want you to know that you have the responsibility to stop it. There is something you can do to put out the fire. There's something you can do to stop it and don't let it burn. How? Okay, let me give you some directions. Next time, if a person's come to you and want to talk to you about someone behind their back, or he just come to you and wants to tell you something about someone else, I would like you to ask him 5 questions. So are you ready? 5 questions. Question number 1. What is your reason for telling me? Can we say it together? 1, 2, 3. What is your reason of telling me? Okay, let's practice. Find a partner, okay? People sitting next to you. And you practice. You just ask him, okay? Are you okay? Are you all right? Okay, let's try it. Talk to the ones next to you. 1, 2, 3. What is the reason for you telling me? Okay? Is that okay? One more time. What is your reason for telling me? Okay, this is question number 1. Yet this question is asking about the motive. Why does he think he needs to talk to you about that person? Why does he think you need to know? Is this just for chit-chat or for the purposes of fulfilling his curiosity? Well, if this is so, then you can just simply stop the conversation and explain to him politely, remember, politely, okay? Politely, that you don't think it is appropriate to talk about someone behind their back. If he has any concern about that person, perhaps he should go to that person directly and talk to him, right? But what if he does not stop? He keeps on talking. Then I give you question number two. You can ask him question number two. Where did you get this information? Let's repeat it. One, two, three. Where did you get this information? Oh, yeah. One more time. Where did you get this information? The purpose of this question is to verify the truth. Whether what you heard is based on the fact, when people gossip, you know, they tend to use general words. What is a general word? Occasionally, people came to me and said, Pastor, many people think that. And then they start to say something afterward. When I heard this kind of sentence, I usually ask, what do you mean, many people? How many? Can you give me a number? Do you know these people? Of course, I didn't ask him to give me a name, but I just want to know how many, because people like to say, oh, so many people think that he is an idiot. Is it how many? 10, 20, 30, 100, or just you? Yet the purpose of this question is for you to make sure that the information is accurate and correct. Is it true that there are many people? Or is it just exaggeration? It's just an exaggeration. It is just from one person's opinion. If he can answer you, then you may proceed to question number three. The question number three is, have you gone to those directly involved? Have you gone to those directly involved? If the answer is negative, then you are almost sure that this person is gossiping and he wants you to gossip with him. If this is really his concern, is it more effective for him to speak to those who are involved directly rather than just talking to you? Unless you are part of the solution or you really have something that you can do about it. Otherwise, it is just a gossip. If it is not, then I think you can just, if this is so, I think you can just encourage him either go to those who are involved in that incident directly or find a pastor for further advice. Question number four. Have you personally checked out all the facts? Have you personally checked out all the facts? Well, this question is to make sure that the facts are coming from a reliable source. As I mentioned it before, gossip distorts the truth. Is what you heard only one side of the story? Did you get the whole picture? You should think about it. And last but not least, question number five. Wow, this is a very serious question. Can I quote you if I check this out? Can I refer it to you when I check it out? Well, I would say that this is a $5,000 question. Because when people gossip, they do not really want others to know about it. So if he said no, then you know what you have heard should stop at you. But what if the answer is yes? What if he answers all five questions? What if the information is accurate? He has gone to those directly involved and you have checked out all the facts and you know that they are all true. What should I do next? Well, in this case, I will give you question number six. This question is for yourself. And you ask yourself, is it necessary for me to tell others? Is it necessary for me to tell others? Rather than telling others, why don't I just go directly to that person and show my love and care? Why don't I just go to him, encourage him with works of encouragement, or pray with him, or encourage him to go to the pastor for advice? Would it be more appropriate to do so? So this morning, I gave you six questions. I gave you these six questions, and I want you to use them wisely so that you can prevent gossips in the church. Question number one, what is your reason for telling me? Question number two, where did you get this information? Question number three, have you gone to those directly involved? Question number four, have you personally checked out all the facts? Question number five, can I quote you if I check this out? And the last question you ask yourself, is it necessary for me to tell others? Brothers and sisters, we all know what kind of harm gossips can bring to us. We all know it. It can ruin relationships and destroy unity. We all know it. It does harm more than good to our trust to God and to one another. So we shall be alert. And don't let our enemy Satan to use this as a weapon to create division and destroy us. We should stop it, whatever it takes, so that we will not ruin our church. You know, words are powerful and contagious. And we have spent 4 Sundays to talk about it. Their impact to one's life is way beyond our imagination. Negative words, grumbles, lies, gossips, and slanders are like virus. They can alter the atmosphere of a room. They can twist people's mind and destruct lives. They can bring harm to relationship and division to a community. Therefore, your pastor will always remind you that you must guard well your tongue and be careful of how you use your language. When God gave you a tongue, he designed it with a purpose, my friend. Its purpose is for you to use it positively and constructively so that you can bring encouragement, thanksgiving, word of comfort, and praises to the world. When God created the world, he brought life to the earth by his word. Do you remember? God said, and it was so. So you see, words itself do have its power. Apostle James says, how can a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? So is our mouth. We cannot use the same mouth to grumble, but at the same time to sing praises. We cannot use the same tongue to destruct, but at the same time to build up. No, we cannot. Our God wants us to use our tongues to speak truth and truth only. He wants us to sing praises. He wants us to bring comfort. He wants us to encourage. He wants us to bless. And most importantly, he wants us to bring good news to the people around us who need gospel by sharing our testimonies and our personal experience in Jesus. So that people who listen to us may know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And imagine, if we can do it, and you can do it together as one body, what do you think it would happen to our community? What kind of impact and influence do you think that we can bring to this city? How many lives will be changed, will be transformed by knowing Jesus because they have heard about Jesus through your testimonies? Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to know after these 4 weeks, words are powerful and contagious. If you use them for grumbles, lies, gossips, slanders, they will destroy lives for sure. But if you use them for encouragement, comfort, truth, they will build up lives eternally. So this morning, my prayer is, may our Lord bless our tongues and let good words and only good words coming out from our mouths. There's no more just saying. May those who listen to us will have an opportunity to know our God. And may every word coming out from our mouth glorify the name of our God. I invite you to stand, and we have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Our dear God, the prophet Isaiah has reminded us in the Bible that we are indeed a group of people with unclean lips, and we dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Today, when we stand before you, we ask for your mercy and forgiveness. Lord, forgive us if we have ever said anything that's caused harm to people. Forgive us of misusing the tongue that you created for us. Forgive us of not using it to build up people's lives. Rather, we said things that brought destruction and confusion to the people around us. Forgive us if we grumble. Forgive us if we lie. Forgive us if we did not speak the truth. Forgive us if we have involved in any kind of gossips or rumors which bring harms to relationships and ruin the unity of your body. Lord, today, your people stand before you again, not only to pray that you will forgive our sin, but also we pray that you will cleanse our lips and help us by your Holy Spirit. Give us strength to control our tongue. Give us the wisdom to speak the right words so that we may say things that can build up one another, and your name will be proclaimed before the world by our tongues. Lord, may every word coming out from our mouth will bring all the glory and honor to you. Lord, forgive us, cleanse us, help us, and give us strength. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we use our mouth to sing praises to our God?
We shout your praise. Our heart will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our heart will cry, these bones will sing. Great.
Let us keep standing and receive the benediction from the Lord. Shall we pray? May the very good God of peace sanctify you wholly. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated.